This podcast is recorded on Wiradjuri country. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land, the Wiradjuri people, and pay our respect to elders past and present, and extend our respect to all First Nations peoples listening today. Hello and welcome to the AgTech Finder podcast, where we hear from entrepreneurs at the forefront of innovation and the producers who use their technology on farm. I'm your host, Olivia Carver, and in the coming weeks, we'll be looking at everything from drones to data codes, animal monitoring to automation, and plenty in between. Many of the companies we speak with and the technology highlighted can be found on agtechfinder.com, a food agility CRC initiative and Australia's most comprehensive database of agtech products. Today we're talking about innovations and technology within the shearing industry. The shearing and wool industry is probably not the first people think of when it comes to agtech, being one of the more traditional within agriculture. But the shearer shortage and rise of large sheep within the industry has encouraged the sector to focus on developing technology that will offer wool growers more options and help attract and retain shearers. The industry has developed new shearing modules that eliminates the need for shearers to catch and drag the sheep, the part of the process that often leads to the most injuries. We'll speak to two brothers, Glenn and Chris Haynes, about how and why the modules were designed. Glenn is from the Shearers Contractors Association Australia Shearer Wool Handler Training and designed the modules in collaboration with the AWI, Wool Growers and Shearers.
Working all the time with Australian Wool Innovations, the conversation about where are we going in the future with big sheep, it was probably one of the biggest issues, along with conditions that we were sort of having with young people, retaining them in the industry, the older people in our industry leaving because of the size of the sheep.
We'll also chat to Will Shippen, a sheep farmer who started using the modules due to necessity during a flood, but found they significantly improved efficiency, so he continued to use them.
We had about 11,000 sheep to shear, and we were sort of racking our brains as to how we were going to shear them without a shearing sheep because we couldn't get them out.
But first, we're joined by Carolina Diaz from the Australian Wool Innovation to give us an update on new technologies they're working on, in particular biological wool harvesting. Thank you so much, Carolina, for joining us on the podcast. We really appreciate you being here. Can you start by talking us through some of the new technologies being developed in the wool harvesting space?
For sure. I think the most important innovation happening in that space is the project that AWI is funded and is led by University of Adelaide. And it's about developing treatment, injectable treatment, to create this weak point in the fibers and to develop a system for biological harvesting wool. It's a new approach. It aims to de-skill the process because, as you know, shearing is a quite challenging task. It's very demanding physically. So with this new approach, maybe we can use that, or maybe we can open the way for automation. So I would say that that's the main project happening there.
So can you explain a little bit more about how biological wool harvesting would work? So would the sheep come in at shearing time and have an injection that would cause their wool to come off? Is that how it works?
Well, yes and no. It's like that. You treat the animal, you release them in the paddock back, and you allow for some regrowth, because by the moment that you inject that, it's going to create this weak point when you can actually pull the wool without need to cut it. But we don't want to leave the skin there because we need the sheep to be protected from the environment, the sun, the cold. So the ideal situation is you inject the treatment, you release the sheep on the paddock, you get them back maybe 3-4 weeks after, so you have some regrowth below the weak point. And then with some system that is yet to be developed, you remove the wool in an easier and more optimized way. I would say that at the same time that we are funding this project and working with Uni of Adelaide to develop this treatment, we are trying to find a way to remove the wool once it's weakened. There's nothing in the market that we can use, so we need a new system to remove wool. And that's why we put an open call at the end of the year four proposals to develop different systems from hand pieces with a different wool removal system to fully automated systems.
That's really interesting. So you've got the technology there for what needs to be in the injection for the sheep for their wool to be able to be pulled off, but it's how you pull the wool off is the next step. Is that right?
Yes. It's the next step, but has to happen in parallel. There has to be different options. Maybe some people will use hand pieces and do wool handling in a more traditional way, but maybe this is the time to think about this fully automated system that it's not only removing the wool, but also looking at using artificial intelligence or machine vision to identify contaminants and remove contaminants and maybe do a better quality of wool preparation, which is going to increase the value. We actually have invested in that space already, looking at if we can automate wool handling process, and it's looking good. So maybe that's the future.
And I guess you've spoken about a few of them, but what do you see as sort of the main problems that this technology seeks to address? Obviously, shearers have been hard to find in recent years with labour shortages. And as you say, I guess with technology could improve the quality of the wool harvested as well.
Yes, I guess the main problem that we need to resolve is the shear shortage. It has been a great problem. It has been a huge problem for the industry, especially after COVID. It's still our consultative committees, the growers that we ask about, it's the main problem for everyone. We know that people want to shear more often. Some of the people are currently, I have some figures here, 83% shear every 12 months. And 17% of producers shear from 6 to 8 months. But it's a trend that is increasing, and there are some benefits there. There might be benefits for reproduction outcomes and for fly strike management. So, but people can't because they can't get the shears on time. So we need to provide with an alternative for that. The cost is very high right now. And of course, the better the quality of the shears, the higher the cost. Or if you are in a remote space, in a remote area. So the first thing that we need to resolve is that people need to be able to shear or to harvest wool whenever they think it's appropriate for them and works for them. Of course, if we can also add on top of that better quality or that different way to prepare clips, depending on the demands from the supply chain, that would be also an added value. And that could also make up for the extra labor cost that could bring this technology. Hopefully not, but it could happen. So hopefully everything together will at the end be something that people say, okay, I want to change the way I shear, I want to try this.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And what do you sort of feel have been the biggest challenges with developing this new technology?
Well, I think that for all the wool harvesting technology, the problem is the shears are very good at their jobs. They are very efficient. So it's not easy to find machines to replace that way and that job, a way that is cost effective and time effective. There has been previous attempts for robotic shearing. And none of them was successful because they were not good enough. It's also a very traditional industry, but I guess that's not the main issue. I think we haven't presented to rural growers a solution that is actually better than shears.
And obviously this technology is not available yet and still has a way to go. But what has been the response from the industry? Because I guess you do have on one side the wool growers, as you say, who are saying we really need a solution for the shearer shortage and we want to be able to shear more. But then on the other side, you've got the shearing industry who obviously don't want to be completely out of a job. So what do you think that adoption will be like and how will you go about that when the technology is available?
Yeah, of course, this is a long-term strategy, because this is not going to happen tomorrow. We wish, but no. And this is not something for everyone. I guess in the future, we will have shears for sure in the equation, not only shears, wool handlers, but there has to be this alternative. The time that you can't find shears or you want to just use it for small batches, maybe only for your grants or for your weathers, and it's maybe not worth it to bring the whole team to do that. We think or we envisage this as a complement. It's not going to replace anything. It's going to complement this. And for AWI, this is not the only thing that we are doing. We have this investment, but we also are investing in shearing training, probably more money than in this at the moment, and just trying to bring more people in the industry.
Thank you so much, Carolina, for coming on. It's been really great to hear a bit more about it.
Yeah, thank you, Olivia. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to the AgTech Finder podcast, helping you make confident technology decisions. Go to agtechfinder.com to search, sort and compare the latest in agricultural technology and find the right solution for your business.
We've heard a bit about the technology that's coming down the pipeline, but now we'll hear about one of the recent innovations that's already available within the industry, shearing modules. Glenn Haynes is from the SCAA Shearer Wool Handler Training and designed the modules in collaboration with AWI, Champion Shearers and Wool Growers. Can you start by telling us a bit about why the shearing modules were created?
Yeah, I suppose as my role with a training organisation, with Shearer Wool Handler Training, we're really closely working all the time with Australian Wool Innovations. The conversation about where are we going in the future with big sheep. It was probably one of the biggest issues, along with conditions that we were sort of having with young people, retaining them in the industry, the older people in our industry leaving because of the size of the sheep. I suppose from our end, we realise that farmers get paid per kilo for everything they produce. You know, that's how they make their money. You know, the odds of farmers ever going back and producing sheep that are, you know, 50 to 60 kilos is just not going to happen, you know. So we had to plan for the future. And some of those conversations, I suppose, that were involved with WorkSafe was, you know, what are you doing about this industry? You know, with the size of it, you can't keep people just dragging sheep like this. You know, everything else has got, you know, 20 kilos, needs two people to lift. We all see those signs at Bunnings, etc. And I suppose, in, you know, Stephen Fain from Australian Wool Innovations just rang me one day and said, look, Glenn, you know, we're having more conversations about this sort of thing. Would you be interested in taking on a project? In half sort of in the middle of COVID when it started. And we thought, oh, well, you know, we can't go anywhere. We can't do too much. So, yeah, no, we'll have a look at it. So, you know, our main things that we wanted to really be aware of, which is, you know, the way our industry is going and with people looking all the time in agriculture, is, you know, the animal welfare. We wanted the sheep to be comfortable. We wanted the sheep to be handled really well. You know, if the sheep are comfortable when they're being handled, they sit really well and they're very calm for the shearer. We wanted really good WH&S, you know, ideas, input coming in from all different areas about, you know, whether the strain on your shoulders, back, legs, you know, the height of the board, a lot of those. But then we didn't want to really step away from the pattern that we shear, because then you're not changing too much for the young people. And what we're finding more and more common with when, you know, dealing with young people and teaching them all the time is, you know, soft tissue shoulder injuries and the more of the tendonitis, strains to your forearms, you know, hands, etc., legs, knees, and it all comes from the catch and drag. There was a lot to it. People don't realise how much to it and how much sort of thinking and scenarios we had to keep thinking. You know, all we wanted to do was go, we've got all these young female shearers that are coming through and they are absolutely brilliant. But a lot of them, when they start, lack core strength and things like that. But you put them on something like this and they're away. If you take out that stress on your body, how many more people can we keep in this industry? But how much can we prolong someone's career where people start going, I need to get out of this industry by the time I'm 40? And we want to look at that and go, like, hang on a minute, let's make this so we can go, okay, I don't need to get out of this industry at all because I don't need to drag the sheep. I can stay here until I'm 60. The other things that were part of what we wanted to work on, we wanted to make it as easy as possible for a farmer that didn't want to have a massive outlay of $500,000 to be able to retrofit a shed to modernise it without a massive expense. So, e.g., why we made a modular. So you can pick them up and join them on. There was lots of things like that we looked at. So we knew, okay, can we make them, when we're designing it, can we make them so they can go in a horseshoe? Can we make them in an L shape? Can they go back to back so they're taking up less space? There was all of those things that we had in the back of our mind when we were designing it before we even went to trial stage.
Yeah, well, it sounds like such a collaborative process in how it was designed. Are you able to give a brief explanation of how it works?
The shearing process itself, as far as the pattern of the sheep, you know, the equipment that we use, all of that's no different than a normal shearing shed on a normal day. So no one has to change their patterns or techniques. Basically, you know, we've taken out of having 6 or 7 steps or more into a catching pen and then tipping that sheep over, physically tipping the sheep over, and then dragging that sheep out to your actual shearing stand, and also the pivoting of when you're twisting that sheep on one leg, you know, that puts the pressure on your hip. So we wanted to take that out. So the process is you know, there's a door on a catching pen on a race. The door is elevated where the sheep stands, and that's approximately 300 millimeters off the ground. So the shearer can walk forward and they just put their hand on top of the door where the catch is on the door, and that just moves up and down, and that'll allow you to open the door. And the door's spring activated with hinges on it, the same as in a normal shearing shed door. So as soon as you walk away from it, it shuts itself. Once you drag that sheep out, the next sheep behind it then can walk through.
That sounds great. Obviously, as you say, there were so many different elements that went into this design, from retrofitting it to the shearing sheds, the flow of the sheep. Obviously, you're aware of it fitting with the techniques of the shearers. What would you say, though, was the most challenging of all when it came to designing these modules? What was the most challenging bit of the process?
We all agreed as a group, the biggest challenge we're up against is attitudes, you know, whether that's attitudes from the shearers or attitudes from the growers, of always trying to find a fault in something that where there's a change, you know. Oh, you know, like, I don't know how many people come to me and said that won't work. You know, when we were trialing it, we had at a shed for nearly a month, and we had 2 young guys on it. And then we were swapping, and there was a 4-stand shearing shed though, because they had a full range of sheep. And one of the guys there was close to 60, and he looked at it from word go and said, "You won't get me on that, that won't work." Well, it was after about 7 or 8 days it had been there, and the young guys are shearing up, their tallies went right up. They were talking nonstop about how good their body felt, and they couldn't believe it. You know, they're fighting over each other who's going to get on it. And the older guy said on the Friday morning, said, "All right then, you know, you're carrying on, you blokes, oh buddy, I'll get on there then." So he jumped on there. Well, he did a run. I said to him, "How'd you go?" And he said, "Well, them young fellas aren't getting back on here." He said, I'm on here for good. So I suppose as far as that, it was keeping the cost down. It was a really big thing that was part of it, and that was a challenge. So can we make it cost efficient? You know, the flow of the sheep, that was a challenge in itself. But again, it was quite an easy solution in the end, the way we worked it out by just going through our network. But I still think, and it still currently is, I think, is the attitude of our industry to, we haven't changed a hell of a lot other than wide gear and the shearing plants, you know, for a long, long time. So as much as the young people nowadays, you know, are extremely professional and, you know, treat their job like a sport, it's that attitude. And I think you'll see that change, but it's the ones that are sort of, you know, I suppose my age, in the, you know, getting in their 50s and things like that, it's sort of looking out to go, well, why would I want to get on it? But it's a hard one with that one, yeah.
Yeah. And now you're a few years down the track, I guess. What are you seeing are the impacts? I mean, we've spoken about them already in terms of retaining people and getting more females into the industry, efficiencies. But, yeah, how are you seeing it sort of received now, and what have you seen the big impacts be?
Yeah. Well, it's one of the things. I think obviously in the last sort of, you know, 6 to 8 months, we've had a big drop in the price of lamb, a few things like that, and the wool job sort of gone down. There was a hell of a lot of positivity around it, and people were keen to sort of upgrade sheds and everything going into then and before that. And then they've sort of, and you can't blame them, have sort of gone, oh, maybe I need to tighten the belt a little bit here and we'll just sit back and do what we're doing. The guys that are working in those sheds that have been done, the report's coming back like a just phenomenal, like, for the guys, you know. And I think the more that get around the place, the more it's going to be a case of, oh, you need to go down there and have a look at that. Or, oh, you know, if you're going to build a shed, it needs to, you know, because those guys, especially the young ones where you sort of got to run and they know, farmers are a bit bit like people with doctors, you know, you get a good one, you want to, you know, have them for a long time, or accountants and things like that. And, you know, farmers know they've got a good young crew of people and they know they're going to hang around. Well, they sort of take advice off them, and we're trying to go forward. And I think over the next 3 to 4 or 5 years, you'll just start seeing them more and more as a almost a requirement to, especially, you know, in, with big sheep, that those sort of areas, you know, whether you're meat producing sheep and things like that. Yeah, I think people will definitely go, if they're going to start changing something in their shed, it'll be probably the first thing they'll look at, hopefully.
We're now going to hear from Glenn's brother, Chris Haynes of Haynes Engineering, the first company to build the shearing module. Chris says Glenn and the team were down in his workshop every day during the design process, working on the angles, flow of sheep and everything in between. Chris now builds and sells the modules across Australia from his base in Narracourt, South Australia. Chris, we've heard from Glenn about how the modules were designed, but you're the one building some of these modules. So is it contracting teams who are buying the modules and bringing them with them, or is it growers purchasing themselves and then putting them in their sheds?
At this stage, it's mainly the farmers, the wool growers, buying them. You know, AWI have got a few of their own that we've made for them that they cart around and hire out. We've got two hire ones here that we hire out, you know, for shearing competitions, and, you know, somebody that's got 200 sheep that they want to do at home, you know, those sort of things, we can just put it on a trailer. But as far as making them on a trailer, you know, you sort of, it's a lot of work to try and work out how to do it. But, you know, it's the people that have got 2 or 3, 4, 5 properties that are distances apart, they've sort of been buying the setups of 2 or 3 or 4. They put them on a semi, they take them to one property, they use them there, they class on the board and they put it straight into the press, it's pressed, and then once they're finished there, they pack up the portable yards, the modules, and then they go to their other property, which is what exactly what we wanted, you know, and they've eliminated all those safety and the sheds available for something else as soon as the modules are gone out.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a really important part of it for it to be mobile and something that you could move around.
Yes, that was the main, probably the hardest part of the whole lot, was making them the width to be able to fit on a truck, you know, and fit the board in, the height of the board, you know, for the rouseabouts, the amount of room that the shearers have actually got to be able to spin and turn and do their jobs without falling off. The front, you know, we've put handrail across the front so they can't. We've got a walkway across up the back that all unbolts for transport. So when we've used them at demonstration days and that, honestly, it's 20 minutes to set up a module, you know, and then all of a sudden you've got sheep, they've got ramps, they've got dummy pens, so you can adapt your original shearing shed, which a lot of them are at that stage now where they're going to have to, due to your work safe, you know, places and the younger women and the girls coming through, you know, and I mean, they're able to use these modules as well as a you know, anybody else.
The Primex Field Days is one of the country's leading ag events in Casino, Northern New South Wales, from the 16th to the 18th of May. And you can be part of the action by joining AgTech Alley. Put your technology and solution on display for as little as $250, thanks to a subsidy from the Department of Agriculture, Fisheries and Forestry. Putting leading suppliers together in one place with value-added opportunities like workshops and demonstrations to help you reach more customers. Book your spot by searching for Primex Field Days online.
Our next guest is wool grower Will Shippen. He started using the shearing modules out of necessity, but he found the improved efficiency so much that he continues to use them today.
Self-replacing merino operation based in the Riverina around Moorman, and we do our cull ewes will go to Wagga for prime lamb production. We've got a feedlot over here as well, and then we've got the same thing down at Mortlake as well, where my sister, she manages that place. My brother manages the Woolman place and I'm over here at the Wagga place. So, yeah, we will keep pretty busy.
And how did you start using the shearing modules?
Interesting story. So we, in the middle of a massive flood, we'd bought this property and it basically got cut in two. We had about 11,000 sheep to shear and we were sort of racking our brains as to how we were going to shear them without a shearing shed because we couldn't get them out. So that's how we got in. We contacted the AWI and said, this is our dilemma. I was good mates with Tom Hurst, so he was a great contact to have. And he put us onto these modules. And basically we converted a hay shed, an old hay shed. We just concreted the floor, and within 10 days we had it set up to become a fully operational seven-stand shearing shed with these modules, built yards and everything like that out the back, just, you know, good enough to get it to work. And yeah, that's how we came across these modules. It's worked out really well. It was a kind of a necessity type thing at the time, but it's the way we're going to go now, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So how did you get the sort of material in at the time and that sort of thing?
We could get trucks in, but it was a matter of driving as far as you could, get bogged, pull the rest of the way through. We had a lot of good blokes around us at the time who, yeah, they really got it happening for us. And we could get access to the property. It was just we couldn't get, you know, big stock crates and whatnot in and out.
Yeah. Sheep off. No, fair enough. So yeah. What sort of impact have the shearing modules had on the operation? And, yeah, what sort of been the benefit of using them as opposed to the shearing shed, the traditional shearing shed?
I'd say the benefits would be probably everything that goes along with a more efficient shearing or less fatiguing shearing, if that makes any sense. So each run, the average shearer who jumps on there, he reckons he does two or three or even four or five more, depending on how hard they go themselves. They feel a little bit less fatigued, apparently. And I think with less fatigue and more numbers, you sort of generally get a better shearing job. That's the benefit we've sort of seen. And then I suppose an offshoot of that would be they're a lot cheaper to set up a shearing shed that way than the traditional way. So I guess there's two benefits there, one for the animal and one for the hip pocket in terms of building a new shearing shed. It's not as daunting as it once was.
And I guess you've got the other properties in the family as well that I imagine have shearing sheds. Do you think it's something, obviously there's the cost involved, but do you think it's something that you would look at retrofitting into the shearing sheds that you've got on other properties?
Oh, absolutely. Like, we're building a new shed this year again, and this one will be a 10-stand shed, and we're using the shearing modules again. All our other sheds, we have done a fairly, as good as you can, fairly big maintenance every year on each shed, just to keep, because they're basically like our headers. So we won't probably retrofit any sheds, but we will, whatever we build from now on will be these modules.
Were there any sort of challenges in getting it set up? I mean, obviously you had big challenges just in your circumstances with getting it all going during a flood, but have you had any other challenges with using the modules? And what about the shearing teams that come through? Are they all cross it and that sort of thing?
I honestly would say we obviously had time constraints, but if you've got the time and you can sort of sit down and plan it, I honestly would say there'd be no challenges in putting them in unless there's a severe shortage of dyna bolts or you don't have a telehandler to put them in or a forklift to put them in. But in terms of shearers being all over them, some are a bit hesitant and some are more than happy to try it. I could count on one hand if we've had any complaints about them, you know what I mean? Like, most blokes are pretty receptive of them. There might be the odd query about how people think they might run. They might not run very well and they might not have a sheep there and they're ready to go for the next time they want to shear one. But we haven't had that issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess change for anyone when they've been doing something one way a long time is tricky sometimes.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
What do you think as a wool grower, what do you feel is something that you would like to see next in terms of innovation or technology entering the space?
How long have we got?
As long as you want.
I think in the short term, I'd love to see a 1,000 kilo or 1 ton wool bale.
Is that in terms of efficiency would make a big difference?
Yeah, I feel like it would. I'd like to see that. Long term, I'd like to see shearing done either mechanically, robotically or biologically. The thing about shearing is like the shearing of the actual sheep is very efficient. It's just the drama is that we're finding now is there's not a lot of people that are coming into the industry that want to do it. And I think labour shortages are just going to push. They are going to push efficiency changes. Yeah, I think operationally that'd be about the two main things. I'd love to say that, yeah.
That's all for episode 23. Thanks for joining us. You can search and compare hundreds of ag tech solutions, including some of the ones you've heard about today, on agtechfinder.com to find the right product for your business. If you love the podcast, don't forget to leave us a review and click subscribe to follow along.